table.
I know. Good. You learn quickly.
I know.
You learn very quickly.
Yes.
You know, you have, last week you were teasing me because I'm very strong about women's issues. And you're like, mm-hmm. Why? I don't understand. Male soccer players should get paid more because more people go to watch the male mm-hmm. soccer players right. than the female
First
soccer
of all,
players.
That's an amazing imitation of me. Wow. Wow. It was like I was in the room.
It's like you're throwing your own voice.
Wow. Wow.
And I say it's part of a whole socialization
and I didn't,
process.
And I didn't say, yes. I didn't say, oh, no, men deserve more. I just said it wasn't brought up by the person we were talking to that somebody who brings in more money maybe should get more money.
Well, it also, we could live in a society that also respects and honors the female part of the society and
well,
supports
how are we
that.
Not, why? What do you mean by that?
Like, if
I have to watch.
We got to go. But
well, then don't bring it up, Maureen.
No,
don't bring it up. You know what?
The patriarchy. We're going to talk about the patriarchy just ahead.
I hate this show.
Why men cover for each other. I'm Maureen Langer with Richie Byrne. That's just ahead.
Low white power turnout in D.C. Giuliani says what Trump won't say. I'm Evan Haining. The white nationalist Unite the Right rally in Washington was smaller and shorter than its supporters had hoped. Fewer than 30 white supremacists were met by thousands of counter-protesters. D.C. Police Chief Peter Newsom says law enforcement's main goal was to keep the two opposing groups separate.
History has shown that when these two groups have gotten together in the past, it often results in violence. I believe we were effective in executing that plan, and we did not see any violent confrontations that we have seen in other cities.
President Trump's lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, says if the president sits down with special counsel Robert Mueller, he will say he never asked fired FBI Director James Comey to ease up on his probe of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. However, Giuliani told CNN State of the Union the Trump team won't take any questions on Comey.
Because we believe that we would be almost committing malpractice by doing that. They've made it clear that they will not indicate to us what their view on this is. And without that, we run the risk of their having the ability to cite him for perjury.
Well, the White House is blasting former staffer Omarosa Manigault Newman for secretly recording a conversation with Chief of Staff John Kelly in the high security situation room at the White House. Manigault Newman says she made a number of recordings to protect herself from infighting in the West Wing. Firefighters are finally getting an upper hand on several wildfires burning in California.
Governor Jerry Brown has declared 4 states of emergency within the past 2 months as the largest fire in state history, and more than a dozen others chewed up nearly 1 million acres, destroyed thousands of homes, and killed 8 people. While the fires still burn, the largest, the Mendocino Complex fire, is over 330,000 acres and is 70% contained. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
In pro golf's last tournament of the season, American Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship by 2 strokes. Tiger Woods made a strong second place showing. I'm Evan Haining.
Remember when you couldn't order a ride at the press of a button? Or get online without hearing this? Or get Domino's delivered to over 150,000 unexpected outdoor locations?
Wait, what?
Introducing Domino's Hotspots. You can finally get pizza delivered right to the beach, the quad, or the dog park. Not at home? Not a problem. Find a Domino's Hotspot near you and get 2 medium 2-topping pizzas delivered for $5.99 each. 2-item minimum handmade pan pizzas will be extra. Ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit Domino's.com for details on Domino's Hotspots.
Have you tried that trendy new dating app? You can have months of frivolous fun with people who just love to play games. But if you're ready for something more grown-up, try the Match app. Over 30,000 new people a day are heading to Match for grown-up conversations that lead to great dates and beyond. Our listeners that go to Match.com can start for free today. View photos and informative profiles to get a deeper sense of the people you'd like to meet. Start for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com.
You're listening to Maureen Langan on the next generation of KGO A10. KGO A10.
I'm Maureen Langan. My special guest co-host is an angry white
very,
man.
Very angry. I'm very angry. I may even bam-bam the table.
Richie Byrne, out of his mind. His podcast is called Drinking.
Oh, my God. Will you learn it?
Jokes?
Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
All right,
it's my podcast. You can find it on iTunes and something else. But just go to thecomedypoint.com. Thecomedypoint.com. It's there. It's me. It's Mark Riccadonna, another really funny comic.
And people glazing.
Joel Richardson. It's three white guys, so most of you don't want to listen because, God forbid.
Because, you know, white men.
And we never have females on it or anything.
White men in America are not being heard enough. And I hope that they take over the White House.
No, no. They're not allowed to talk anymore.
And I hope they defund Planned Parenthood.
Oh, please.
And I hope that they put an end to health insurance.
Wah!
No, I'm just speaking. Yes, bam, bam.
I'm so mad at you right
Why
now.
Why are you mad at me?
Because we did a 30-second, we came in for 30 seconds, you accused me of being sexist,
no!
And I didn't have a chance to rebut. You're like, I go to rebut, you go, gotta go to commercial, gotta go to commercial. No time for rebuttal there, sexist boy.
I told him if he had sisters, he'd be a better
person.
Well,
I don't have sisters.
Well, that's obvious.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's like so clear.
No.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Well, do you have brothers?
Three.
Okay, you win.
And two sisters. Boy, girl, boy, girl.
I don't understand why I have to have sisters. I don't understand
I think that you might then see some of the things that they have dealt with, and you might go,
So I never saw a woman go through anything. I didn't.
I don't know.
I am completely blind to women. Blind.
Do you see what I'm dealing with, Franz?
Freudian.
Do you see what I'm dealing with? Before he accidentally called himself a homosexual.
I did.
He did. And now he's just calling himself blonde. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know who he is, really. I don't know who I know he's fun.
I'm just so...
But he's limited.
Wow. You don't know how many coffees I have to build up to come here every Sunday
We
night.
Have so much fun.
And deal with Langan.
Hang him with Langan.
Hang him with Langan.
All right, so... You and I had this kind of back and forth, and I enjoyed it. So then I saw that, and this topic about a woman talking about why men cover for other men.
Mm.
And it's actually more serious than I thought it was going to be. So I want to...
Guy code.
Get
Very important.
So do men cover for each other?
Yes.
If so, why do they? And you and I will talk more about this. Ohio State, there's the head football coach there, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, this is a little different.
All right, he's on administrative leave, not allowed to talk with Buckeyes players or coaching staff because this investigation into how he and his staff handled reports that his ex-assistant coach, Zach Smith, abused his ex-wife back in 2015. Now, Meyer had initially said publicly that he had no idea
Meyer?
Okay, Meyer, sorry. Meyer. I don't know football.
Watch a game.
All right. Well, maybe I like baseball better. Whatever dawned on you. Maybe women will play one day. Okay, yeah. So Meyer...
When they're good enough to play,
well, they were. They were when you people went to World War II and won. Whatever.
Maybe I won't pay to watch it.
Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll go to the Baseball Hall of Fame and just keep walking past
See,
that.
See, I didn't know you were going here with this because, once again, I wasn't prepped.
Well,
but
if you read...
No, I did read.
You don't read. You don't give a crap. You're like, Just
I know what
my
the
show,
story
Maureen.
Is here. Finish it.
All right. I want people who don't know here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Meyer had initially publicly said he had no idea about the allegations about his assistant coach Smith that he had abused his then-wife, Courtney. Meyer said he only became aware... Is it Meyer or Meyer?
It's Meyer.
I said Meyer, and you told me Meyer.
No, I didn't.
Jesus.
Wow.
I had Meyer, and you said it's Meyer.
No, okay. It's Meyer.
All right, back off. This guy said he only became aware of the allegations recently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Smith's wife claims that...
That's not true.
Meyer. All right.
Oscar Meyer.
Meyer and others were well aware, but chose to help the abuser. Now, Oscar Meyer finally admitted he knew of the allegations against his assistant coach. So why lie? Was he trying to save
his
own job?
Why lie? No, this is atrocious, first of all. I don't understand the idea that you can't get another assistant coach, that these assistant coaches in college, it must be a fear that if it comes out that they'll lose money from people, backers or whatever, you know, supporters.
Who don't go to women's sports.
Who are supporting the college. It can't be anything else but that. Because if I worked with somebody and I found out they were abusing their wife, they'd be gone. I can't. This is not where I thought we were going. This is atrocious to me.
So,
and most men, at least that I know, if a woman or a child is being abused in any way, men step in all fairness.
So many don't go too. But yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Now you're showing yourself in a better light. I like this. Oh, no. But what's it to save his own job? Like you said, maybe he doesn't want to get involved. I think what you're saying is a good point. He wants to keep Let's keep it in house. Keep the money going.
We don't want anyone to know that there's anything. Same thing with Paterno.
We don't air our laundry.
Yeah, we got to keep this in house.
Well, having an Irish mother, she was like, we don't air our laundry. I'm like, Mom, we're the only people on the block without a clothes dryer, so we have to air our laundry. All right, but anyway, here to discuss this, her name is JoJo Dries, workplace speaker and author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy.
Ooh.
Okay. So while we're making an assumption, the jury's still out, why would men cover for each other? Are you there, JoJo?
Yes, I'm here, Maureen. I didn't realize you were so funny, though. You have me cracking up here.
Yeah, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a female gift.
It's natural.
Thank you. Yes. No, you know, you want to approach these things, but honestly, I want to have reference for this. This is not something you make fun of.
No.
Sure.
Though there was a woman in jail whose husband beat her, and she got a book and a movie deal, and Oprah visited her, and I'm thinking, my husband never hit me, and I don't have a book and a movie deal. But anyway, we don't want those things to happen, but that's not the way to get a book and a movie deal. All right. So while we're making an assumption here, you know, that he was covering because of the guy code, talk about this. Is covering a guy thing? I mean, don't women do it as well?
Both genders do it. First of all, thanks for having me on, Maureen.
You're welcome.
I'm glad to be here this evening. And yes, I believe both genders do it, but I believe in a situation like this, what we're looking at is definitely, you know, profit over welfare. This is something where, yes, you know, we don't air our dirty laundry because it's going to affect the bottom line or because it's going to affect which players come, you know, to our team to play on our team because our reputation is such in the market, you know, where it's going to be a negative for them to come on our team. So yes, I think it's a version of profit over welfare versus, you know, what is the next right thing to do? And I think that is the eyeglass with which it's seen versus what should we be doing that's the right thing. We're looking at it in a different way, which shouldn't happen. And yes, guys do defend other guys, and it's been proven over and over.
Well, one of the things that did happen is Meyer, as in Oscar Meyer, even though his name's Urban, which I don't understand that name either, but Urban Meyer, he did tweet out Oscar Meyer. Will you stop looking at me like you're critiquing? I'm JoJo.
Sorry,
the
JoJo.
Bam Bam is here trying to detract the attention from you, all right? Because he's this kind of guy. It's got to be all about him.
You're such a woman.
He tweeted out that he didn't know. I mean, it's been this back and forth. It's been, I did know, I didn't know. I heard about it in 15. I didn't hear about it. I heard about it this year.
Yeah.
But it's all the same thing. It's this defense of the position. It's the defense of the college. And one of them, one of the team leaders, actually just went on vacation for a week. So you have to ask yourself, you know, it's this, I think the more important question is that it's this turning the blind eye, which is regularly seen across the board. I mean, this just doesn't apply to, you know, colleges and coaches and, you know,
it's everywhere.
This is everywhere. This is corporate America. And that's why I'm going on a speaking tour talking about this, you know, to corporations
Wanda.
All across the country. This is why I've written the book, because it's in communities, right? So you said you were boy, girl. I come from a family of six, three boys, three girls, and it's the same. Boy, girl.
Really?
And it was the same. You know, we come from a culture of silence, a culture of don't say it, don't tell people, don't tell people outside the family, like the Godfather, right?
Yeah,
you know, no one outside the family should know what happens inside this home or behind closed doors. But this is the culture of silence that this country has become used to, and it bleeds into all these communities, whether it's corporate America, pro sports, or your home. And I think that that's what needs to change. And I think people like me and women across the country that are speaking out and saying, no, you know, we are no longer going to be accepting of this silence. We are going to use our voices in this way. You know, this is what needs to be happening, and this is how we're going to shift that culture.
Well, I'll tell you this, JoJo, a couple of things. I just want to backtrack, and we'll move this forward, is that Urban Meyer did come out with a statement. Now, I have two daughters, I have a mother, I have a wife, I love women are the best, but it's because he was forced to do that because the light was shown upon him and he had no choice but to do that. And I bet he is a good guy and I bet he loves, but I bet if his daughter was having the crap beat out of her, it'd be a very different story, wouldn't it? The other thing you touch upon, I did read your background and the background from which you came, it was a violent upbringing, and there was the code of silence. Look, I grew up, my father, listen, he was a few fries short of a Happy Meal at times, you know. He could also be out of control, and then the mother there whistling and saying, you don't, you know, you keep it in the family. And even now, to this day, I'll tell you what, I wrote my one-person show that's quite funny, but talks about this daughter of a garbage man, and moving it forward into the world, as you're doing now with the work you're doing about truth and acknowledging these things, I still feel that piece of shame of outing my family. Isn't that funny?
You know, it's funny because it's true. It's very common. You know, I had this, it's sort of like the seven steps of grief, right? Like, I had that whole thing when I released the book.
It you
was
did?
This, oh my, yes, it was this, oh my God, I've done it. Like, now I've done it, right?
So like it's out there.
Like it's out there, you know. There's no bringing it back, and there's this inbred of shame, you know, that we don't talk about it, we don't tell, you know. And the reason that I did what I did, and the reason so many women are doing this, and why you've done it, is it's helping other people. So every time I would blog something, you know, post or tweet, even some small portion, or if I were to tell one woman, you know, in a work environment who I felt was in need of a story from my background. And every time I did that, I would get this visceral reaction of, oh my God, more people need to be talking about this because this is commonplace, whether it's in our culture or work environment or whatever it may be. And so the vision here is to help, you know, give a voice to the voiceless. So whether that's a child in need, a woman in need, you know, and there's men in these situations. I mean, we're there's this domestic abuse that seems so common, you know, man against woman. But, you know, there's domestic abuse situations going the other way.
Or oh, God, there is.
You know, it's, yeah. And then so you talk about this, and I think that it needs to be a more commonplace conversation so that more lives are helped. And that's my passion, you know, for the book, for the speaking tour, for all of that.
Let me just say, I'm speaking with JoJo Dries, workplace speaker, author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy.
How did your family react when you became open about this?
So initially, when I moved out and moved away from the abuse, the last time, so I call him Abuser One in the book. He's my dad. So I don't really reference him as my dad, but as Abuser One, the last time he put his hands on me and I moved out and I started telling my story, it was very bad. It was this, you know, you've been X'd out from the family, you know, we'll never talk to you again. There were threats. There were, there will be repercussions and consequences, you know, all these threats. And now, once I released the book, it was again the same phrases. There will be repercussions. We're never talking to you again. Now, I expected all that, and I just told them, listen, I had to do what I had to do. You have to do what you have to do. But it's sort of a catch-22 in the sense of, you know, if they come out and do anything, it proves me right. And if they don't do anything, it's in a way, it's very satisfying because it's like, listen, this is what happened. You're the only seven people in the whole world that don't realize this is what happened. And because you're in denial. And I talk about the seven steps of how people can get out of these situations in my book. And the first step is get out of denial. And this is part of my passion, is to help people by giving them a voice.
Very powerful. And you said even doing this, do you still sometimes struggle with the shame of outing your, you know, outing the truth about your family?
I think the shame comes in. So the more, to be honest with you, the more mature I got, the more the shame came in not doing it sooner. And I've tried to work through that shame. So for example, so I was 29 the last time he laid his hands on me, and I said, never again will I let this happen. But I could have moved out when I was 19, when I was 20, when, you know, so 10 years before that, you know, in America, I mean, I could have claimed my freedom way sooner than that. And so the shame comes in for me specifically, and why didn't I do this sooner? And that's where I try to help empower other people that are going through this, saying no one's going to help you. You know, everyone says, oh, go find help, you know, go seek help and get out of this abusive relationship. But no one's going to help you until you help yourself, until you find that passion within you that says, I was made for more than this. My destiny calls me to be living in a different way than what I'm living now. And it was until I hit rock bottom and I said, no one will ever touch me that way ever again or abuse me that way ever again, that I finally found my freedom. And that's what I'm trying to help empower other individuals in this situation to do as well, so they don't have to walk through shame either now or later in their lives.
You know, JoJo, some of the things you talked about, I remember I was telling one of my sisters how vulnerable it feels to out some of the family secrets, though they're nothing. Yeah. People live lives. And she reminded me, I love Bruce Springsteen very much, much more than Billy. I love Billy Joel. I love Bruce a lot more. We were talking about that last week. But my sister said, Maureen, you love Bruce Springsteen. You're reading his biography and he's talking about his father and how he could be cruel and drunk. Do you look at him with a sense of shame or disdain? Or one of the best books I ever read was The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls. I don't know if you've ever read that, about her outing her family. And she was a journalist in New York City and would see her parents picking out of the garbage as she's driving to the studio. I mean, the bravery of people, because when you tell your truth, it gives people the freedom to tell theirs. And it is a lovely thing.
It is, and it's very empowering. And yes, there's this sense that's been inbred in us that says you shouldn't have done it or you shouldn't do it. So yeah, I think that sometimes, you know, that does come up, but I immediately realize that's the old me coming back. That's the old me that lived there for 30 years within that because I had to, because I felt I had to, but I didn't have to. You know,
where did you grow up, JoJo? Where did you grow up?
In Michigan, so it was a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, where I grew up. But what I always tease about is, you know, I come from this culture of shame. So in America, we have the culture of shame, but my ethnicity also inbreds that, where there are certain words and certain terms that even say that it's called Aib. It's in Arabic, and it's like, it's shameful to do that. It's shameful to do this. And so it's very inbred in our society. I think that part of it is that, but at the same time, until you take that action and allow the healing to begin, which are part of the 7 steps that I talk about in the book, then you experience this massive success and you realize, wow, if I could have only experienced this 10 years ago, I could have helped myself, as well as other people. That's when the broken parts of your life become beautiful and you realize, wow, you know, I could have done this much sooner and made these broken things more beautiful. And so, yeah, I think part of it is not even that I'm ashamed of saying it or ashamed of even the family, because they had their own issues, right?
Yes,
I didn't move out till I was, 29 or whatnot, and there's never any excuse for that behavior, you know, whether it's abuse or, in any kind of abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, there's never any excuse for it. But after I've healed, I've realized that they came from their own horrors that then allowed them to say, oh, I can then inflict this horror on other individuals.
You know, it's interesting what JoJo says. It's like there are cultures where it is ingrained in you, this shame the Irish are very self-deprecating. And my mother was telling me a story. Like, I was telling my niece, I go, you're so beautiful. And my mother says, stop it. You're going to give her a big head.
Yeah.
And she was telling me the story this weekend about her eldest sister. My mom's one of 10 from a farm in Ireland, and the tough schooling they had. And she said they had a sewing class, and her sister finished the buttonhole first and quickly put up her hand, like, Mrs. Smith, I'm done, very excited. And she was slapped and told that she was a show-off. Mm-hmm. And I said to my mother, geez, if we were Jewish, it'd be like, you're going to be a manufacturer. You're going to have international gobs all over the world.
Right.
You know, because there's cultures that build you up and say you're the best, and look at your talent at such a young age. Buttonholes, we're going to have buttons everywhere. But the Irish are like, what the heck are you doing? You're good for nothing. You know?
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Well, I applaud what you're doing. Before we go, what I wanted to ask you, it's this thing about men covering up. We understand with the sports thing, money coming in and what have you. But do you think it's a trait more so male-oriented for covering up for men? Because I know women who cover up for women a lot, too.
Yeah, I do. I think that there's this common behavior that we've gotten used to. And so I think that that common behavior threads itself in men and threads itself in women. So whether that's in corporate America or whatnot, it's just become this behavior that we've gotten used to that says it's okay to cover for each other if it's going to benefit us. And I think part of it are ourselves, right? And I think part of it is also that, oh, well, we're not as bad as that guy. You know, we're not as bad as the next guy. So if he's doing that, you know, and I'm only doing this bad behavior, it's not nearly as bad. So somehow we justify our behavior by covering up their bad behavior. So I think that's also a common thing. And that's one of the things I'm trying to talk about in these workplace seminars and in the speeches that I'm giving across the country is what are ways that we can change it? What are actions that we can take? And I think I'll just close off my session by saying a really good friend of mine who's a very famous speaker across the country as well, her name is Sue Woodard. In her sessions, she always says something, and it's called do one thing. So it's this dot that shows everyone in her sessions. And I've tried to implement that in mine. And it's simply that let's do one thing every day. It's a reminder that says let's do one thing every day to change our behavior and to change the behavior of those around us to make it a better workplace environment where we're not behaving these ways, where we're covering for each other on these negative end of things. So that's what I leave you with. Let's all do one thing today and tomorrow and the next day.
And Jojo, what I say to you is instead of lamenting that you didn't do it 10 years sooner, I think it's wonderful that you were able to find this part of yourself at all. So thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Maureen, for having me on. I truly think you're quite hilarious. I'll be listening to your show.
How about our sidekick?
I appreciate it.
And Bam Bam.
And yeah.
Richie Byrne.
Richie
yes, Byrne.
And Richie. And if people want to continue the conversation, please find me on my website, jojodries.com. I answer all my emails personally, and we'll look forward to communicating with you all.
Thank you, Jojo.
Thank
Jojo
you.
Drives rhymes with, you know, cries. It's D-R-I-E-S. And her book is The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. All right, coming up.